Make sure I ain't got no dirt on
the
me.
Survivor Specialists are back. Welcome to the premiere episode of Matt Chat. I'm Tegwith here with, I mean, could not have a better person for my first ever episode as a specialist. Elaine, I am so happy to have you from Island of the Isles. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. I'm happy to be here, and I'm proud to be your first. I'll just say that.
I'm like so excited to have you. I know we got to meet at the Ron Clark event and I think we just hit it off so well. So I think this is going to be a really, really fun episode. Also with all of the things you're doing on, like if you haven't followed Elaine, you got to follow it. She just posted this crazy like workout journey and she's just like truly jacked now.
Almost.
I mean, it's pretty impressive. It's pretty impressive. But how are you feeling about season 49? One episode in. What are your thoughts?
I like it. There's some people I like more than others, of course. But the beginning is always, it hurts my heart because I didn't get a marooning. And it was a big deal on my season for the contestants whenever, you know, the first couple days or whatever. Like, we all talked about it. For like three days, we didn't see Jeff. So, like, I'm envious of the marooning and people that got that. So that kind of hurts my heart to watch that and then get them, watch them do the challenge and this, that, and the other. It's like, I didn't get that. So a little jelly, I guess. But it was cool. I liked it so far. I mean, it's just episode one, you know
episode
what I mean?
Episode one. Yeah. Did you feel like when you were out there that the game didn't really start because you hadn't seen Jeff? Like, you're just like with these strangers on an island. Did you feel like, you know, once you saw Jeff, it really started?
Yeah. And that's what we talked about a lot. It's like we were completely clueless. We had no idea. Like, we didn't get nothing. We got nothing. It was like, here's your beach. See you later. And they left. You know what I mean? And honestly, that's what got me in trouble because I was like doing stand-up comedy for a couple days because I didn't know what else to do. You know what I mean? And my thing is like, let's make people laugh. Let's have a good time. And it got me in trouble. So I blame Jeff for not giving me my marooning like I should have had. You know what I mean?
You know what? When in doubt, blame Jeff. That's what we do here on The Specialist. When in doubt, blame Jeff.
Exactly.
Just kidding. Well, I do think that, you know, we heard a little bit actually in this last episode from people who feel like it's a little bit too kumbaya, even though they did have a marooning, right? We heard a little bit from Savannah about like, she's like, yeah, you know, we're all getting along maybe a little bit too well. And she just feels like, you know, we actually really do need to start playing the game. And I do think that that is something that we see now, like time and time again, when we have these like disaster tribes, that some tribes just don't really know how to really play the game of Survivor. Do you think that we'll see that this season? Do we think that we'll see like a tribe maybe not go to tribal council before the merge?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe. The whole kumbaya thing, it's a little too mushy for me right now. I think Jeff's in his, when people get older, they have a tendency to soften, you know what I mean? I need Jeff's villain years back. You know what I'm saying? Sassy Jeff. You know what I mean? I need that back in my life. You know what I'm saying? Like
100%.
It's a little too much. Like, I get it. Like, I love the stories and I love like people's emotions and stuff. Cause I'm an empath myself. I love that stuff. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, like, we watch Survivor for the blind sides and the, all that dirt, you know what I mean? And Jeff being sassy and being a smart ass himself. Like, you know what I mean? So I miss that. It's not that I don't like all the kumbaya. I do, but it's like 90% kumbaya and 10%. I need it reversed. You know what I mean?
Yes, 100%. 100%. And I do feel like that is something that I feel like a lot of people feel in the new era, really more than anything, because, you know, they are focusing more on characters, and Jeff has gone on the record saying like he's done with quote unquote villains. And I think mainly he means that like, we're not going to just tell somebody that they're a villain because, you know, they're a woman and have opinions or whatever else. Because that's the real villain, a woman with an opinions, to be clear. I'm being sarcastic.
That's great.
But I do think that you are not alone in that sentiment. I do feel like though this season we might be in for something a little bit different, because the first like moments of this season, we're talking about how the monster was brought back. That was something that was big in season 41. But we heard, I think it was Juwan saying like, oh, it's like a horror movie. And in act one, we're running away from the monster. But then in act two, you become the monster. And I wonder if maybe that is foreshadowing maybe a little bit more craziness gonna maybe happen this season. Because I feel like people do want that. We want chaos and we want a little bit more villainy in our Survivor.
Well, the only thing is like, if they don't give it to us, I think we ride at dawn. You know what I mean? Like, I'm hoping for it. Like, I hope that is foreshadowing and stuff, but I don't know. Like, they've been so stuck in that same thing for so long. It takes Jeff a minute to get out. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's like, we'll see. I hope so, but I don't know. I'm kind of on the fence.
On the fence, yeah. And I also think that, like, so I wanted to hear your opinion about Riz God and...
I'm Southern Baptist, you know what I mean? I can't say that. I can't. There's
I get you.
There's only one, you know?
Only one Riz God. No, I'm just kidding.
No, but like, I don't dig the name at all, but I like him.
Mm-hmm.
I think he kind of brings some of that old school Survivor back, some of that villain, and I like it. I guess because I'm craving it.
Yeah.
I'm curious to see how he does. And, you know, he's on 50, so it's like he must do well. I'm just curious to see how his gameplay is. I'm pretty sure he's sneaky as shit, though. So
yeah, I mean, we saw him quote-unquote cheat. I mean, it's not – I don't really feel like I didn't really feel like it was cheating, but him copying the puzzle from Alex, and I feel like in that moment, you know, he was even – ballsy enough to go up while Alex was there.
Yeah, and you know what's funny is we were sitting there watching it. My wife's like, she kept looking at me. She's like, he's cheating. I said, you're allowed to do that on Survivor. You know what I mean? And she's like, that's not fair. I was like, yeah, but Survivor is different. It's like when Boston Rob went on that Deal or No Deal Island, and he was pulling the same shit that you would on Survivor, and he got cut for it. Well, he got penalized, which ended up, you know, he lost because of it. But Survivor, you're allowed to do those things. And if you're not, aware, like Alex wasn't aware that he should have, like, messed his puzzle up. Shit, I thought, well, why don't you just pick it up and take it with you? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. It was interesting. I heard through the grapevine that apparently the thinking there was because he wasn't given a cover, he maybe didn't really realize or know that he was allowed to, like, cover the puzzle or break up the puzzle. And so I feel like if that's in the moment where if you're Alex, I feel like he works in politics, right? And I feel like he doesn't really, maybe he follows the rules in life a little bit. Like, maybe he's a little bit more rule abiding.
They don't follow rules. What's wrong?
But maybe he's the one that does.
Oh, well, this is true. This is true.
But I then mean, I feel like this is when he needs to learn, hey, even if there's no indication on whether or not you can do something, just do it. And then if they ring the bell and say, hey, you can't do that, then don't do it. But I feel like you got to pull a Riz God and just do it.
Yeah, well, I'm a challenge fan, and the first thing you do is you always flip the table. You know what I mean? Like, that's what they do. Every puzzle they do, anything that's got, you know, where somebody else can peek, whatever, you got to flip it, do something or whatever. So I was surprised. And then even when he came over and he laid down on top of it, why didn't you think of something then? You know what I mean? Obviously, he's cheating off you. I don't know. And you already knew where it was. I mean, it wasn't too hard. It had a log and a log. It's in between here, like, you're not getting it wrong. You don't have to go back 50 times. Just throw the damn thing on the ground.
Yeah, that was brutal watching him dig and dig and dig. I did not enjoy watching that because I just felt so bad for him.
Well, his problem was he'd dig in a spot for a couple seconds and then he'd go somewhere else. Listen, it was a foot down. You know what I mean? You got to put some more effort in digging deeper. You know what I'm saying? But you don't know in the moment, so you can't fault him for that. And then he probably started panicking when he couldn't find it right away. You know what I mean? So it's understandable, but it's disappointing because he earned it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas Rizzo, he kind of took the short way to get there, you know?
Oh, yeah. And it worked for him. And I think, you know, last season we saw this, like, journey. We use – obviously, Kevin last season broke the bottle, right? And so Kyle comes up and starts – or, sorry, Kyle broke his bottle and helps, you know, fill up the bottle for him. And it was, like, this moment of camaraderie. And I think that's so interesting. This season we're seeing something completely different. And I'm interested to see if Alex and Rizzo make it to the merge. Are they now enemies? Or do you think that they'll work together?
Well, Alex seems like a pretty good forgiving guy, so I don't know if he'll like take that to heart, but I'm not sure. It depends on how Rizzo gets there, you know, like if he meets up with somebody else and is like, oh, Riz said this or lied about that or whatever, and kind of taint his name, and where Alex already has that first impression of him, it may affect how they play together later on. But who knows? You never know. That's the thing. In Survivor, everything's crazy. And one minute you think this is how it's going, and the next minute it's going this way. So it's unpredictable.
It's super unpredictable. And I'm really excited. So I watched the sneak preview for episode 2. We're going to talk about how, you know, we're going to, how maybe episode 1 will lead into episode 2 and what kind of to expect and what do we feel. And on the Red Tribe, which is Rizzo's tribe, we saw a conversation between Savannah, Shannon, Nate, and Rizzo about how they want to be the strong four, and they want to be the core four of their tribe, potentially going after Sage and Jawan. And now, do you think, like, I feel like nowadays people don't really want to go on this first journey because it's kind of a make or break for you, right? And Rizzo was able to make. He got to bring back the supplies. Do you think that set himself up? He set himself up for being able to be in that four? Or do you think that like it's too much of a risk if you're like a future player to not actually go on that journey? Because what if you fail and you're not able to, you're losing out on that really important bonding time with your tribe? Because it seems to have worked out for him. He seems to be in the major four of this alliance or of this tribe.
Well, I'm pretty spontaneous myself. So if I was there, I would have said, I'll go. You know what I mean? Because how many opportunities do you get to go to Fiji, first of all? How many opportunities do you get to play Survivor? And it's like, why hold back? I understand there's a game part of it, but there's also the adventure and the experience. And that's what I went for the first time. That's probably why I lost. But still, so my thing is like, do what you want. Like, if you want to go on the damn thing, go on the damn thing. And you deal with it, you roll with the punches. You know what I'm saying? Like, you just deal with it as it comes. So it's like, I wouldn't set back or be scared to go. For fear of what may happen. You know what I mean? Like, I would just do it. And then it's like, what is that saying where it's like, you ask for forgiveness later, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
that's how I would be about it. But I think it worked out for both of them. Like, Alex come back, and he lost, and he come back because he already had a connection with Jake. And listen, can we talk about this guy literally telling everyone that that's his bromance? Like, don't do that. Bro, you're setting yourself up for people to be like, you know, no. Like, so what's her name? Sophie said, she's like, that's his number one. Like, I'm jealous. I'm Latino. Like, that's not working for me. So I think that's a mistake on his part, a huge mistake, like telling everybody that.
I totally agree, especially to somebody who's coming up to you and who's saying, hey, I want to work with you. And Jake responds, yeah, but I really want to work with Alex. It's like, yes. I want to work with you. And then we can maybe bring in Alex later and see how that goes. Yeah. And even before he met Alex, what if Alex hated Jake for some random reason? Maybe Alex hates tattoos or doesn't like, I don't know. Just like some nipple piercings. Yeah. Something like, what if, and Jake really kind of put it out on the line. Now it worked, but like that was risky. And I'm worried, you know, going down the line, will she want to work with him? I don't know. But also I feel like that happens. If I'm Sophie, he's honest to a fault, it seems.
Yeah.
He's telling everybody about that he's about to have a kid. To me, that's a final tribal council thing that you say. And he's telling you, hey, I'll work with you, but I really want to work with this other guy. Maybe you want to work with this person who's honest to a fault.
Yeah. I got a story for you. So whenever we was out on the island in the first few days, me and Tom became big friends. And I was trying to work with Chelsea. And all the girls, we had went down to the beach, and I told the producers, I said, listen, all the girls are going to the beach. We're going to wash our tits. You guys stay up here. We're going to wash our tits. We'll be back later. So we went down, and me and Chelsea was talking, and she's like, listen, Elizabeth and I are super close. Like, me and you should be like the little meatballs. You know what I mean? So we actually started forming a connection, and we was going to, you know, start an alliance, this, that, and the other. And she was talking to me about other people, like who we're cool with. And I was like, yo, Tom's my guy. Tom's my guy. And do you know that because I told her that, she didn't trust me? She kind of like what's happening now. I have a one. Where does she sit? Where does she fit in that? And I didn't mean it that way when I said it. You know what I'm saying? So I know that it can come back and bite you. And because of that conversation, Me and Chelsea were like this. We were off. Mm. And so whenever her name got thrown out, I was like, but because of that miscommunication and because of those few words, it turned our relationship into what I wanted to be an alliance. It just did. We was off. So you got to watch your words on Survivor and literally be aware of the things you say. You know what I'm saying? And obviously, like, Jake's just being a meathead right now and doing stuff he shouldn't be doing. You can't do that on day one, too. You know what I'm saying? It messes you up, man. I'm telling
you. He is causing chaos. Now, I will say, I think he is really funny TV, and I think he's really fun how out there on the island as a viewer, because he is willing to kind of do more devious, silly things like the shoe bandit. But I'm worried how, you know, for episode two, if they go back to tribal council, what if it's found out? And he's hiding people's shoes. Could that be strike two for some people and then be like, oh, we got to go for you because if we're losing all of these challenges, even with you here, what is the benefit to actually keeping you? Do you think that that's going to hurt him in the long run? Or do you think that, you know, playing the, like, do you think he won't get found out?
No, I think playing games like that in the very beginning is a tricky situation. I don't think it's a good idea. I mean, once you get to know people and you start messing with people, I think that's one thing. It's like when your friends call you names, you're like, okay, cool. But as a stranger calls you the same thing, you're like, hold up a minute. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? So I don't think it's very smart. I mean, I get that he's just trying to have some fun or whatever. But at the same time, dude, it's way too early. Trust me, when you start doing stuff way too early, it messes up the long game for you. I know, I've been there.
And I feel like this, Jake is somebody who I can see going kind of far in the game, actually, just because, I mean, if they do go back to tribal council, I do think that, you know, this tribe might want to keep quote unquote strength on the tribe. And so they will, I kind of feel like they'll try to keep him. But then, you know, maybe we're at Merge and Sophie's like, well, I know that there's an obvious duo. And last season, the duos were so big. We got to go for him. Plus he was stealing everybody's shoes.
Yeah. That sneaker's going to kick you in the ass. You better quit that.
I was talking to somebody and we were all saying it's a big summer for tennis shoes, because not only do we have the shoe bandit, but I don't know if you watch Australia versus the World, but Tony made a tennis shoe into an idol. He wore like a shoe around his neck.
Oh, really? No, I haven't figured out how to watch it. My illegal website that I watched it on got shut down. So it's like having a hard time getting to it. You know what I mean? Like, so if anybody's got any links they want to send me, hook me up. Cause I love Australian Survivor.
It's so fun. It's so good. And Tony and Jake need to hook up, because clearly they're the shoe people.
They got something for souls. Is what it is.
Absolutely. Well, we did also see a little bit from the Blue Tribe in this like kind of preview for the next episode, but we saw Annie going around, and Annie was saying, you know, like they were looking for coconuts with Jeremiah and Sophie, and Kelly was like, listen to this, and shaking the coconuts and being like, you got to look for this. And we hear from them that Annie's kind of directing people, and how, you know, she's kind of maybe quote unquote bossing people around, and it's really starting to rub some people the wrong way. Now, it's day like 4 on Survivor. When you were out there, did you really feel like bossing, and when people were like bossing you around or whatever, if it happens in your real life, it's like not good, but when it happens on the island, it's really, really bad. Did you feel like, could this be putting her in a bad situation?
Yeah, it's like Reem Daly hanging up people's clothes to dry, right?
Oh, yes, it is.
Put it out. Yeah, it's hard to dictate what people's going to take one way or the other when you're out there. Because most people, they come off with good intentions, you know what I'm saying? But at the same time, you don't know how other people are going to react to you, and it's not your normal circle. So it's hard to say what you should and shouldn't do. Because sometimes it works out and sometimes it don't. I think it's like the flip of a coin. You never know how it's going to go. But the bossing and stuff, yeah. Aaron was pretty like, this is how we're going to do it. Like in the challenges, bro, he wouldn't listen to nothing. And it was frustrating because it's like, I would be like, yo, I play cornhole for most of my life. You know, when you had to pitch the grappling hook to get a thing. And I was like, I play cornhole most of my life. I'd be able to get that. And he's like, all right, Dean, you do it. And then Ronnie, you come in. I was like, but like he just whatever he wanted, you know, because he wanted to win. So you know what I'm saying? Well, the Boston thing can get a little much because that's the stuff that pissed me off about Aaron. And I was like, yo, he's got to go. So yeah, I think it's gonna get her in trouble. She needs to cut it back.
Exactly. And also it's like the issue here is also that she was the other name that was brought up. Mm-hmm. And so if she's the other name that's brought up the first episode, I think that's when you really want to be like, hey, even if I was the decoy, clearly that means that I'm on the chopping block. And so maybe that means I need to keep a lower profile from here on out, even if her instinct is to, I mean, she runs a company, she's the lead of a band, you know, she has all of these things. And so, but clearly there's something there where she needs to like pull the reins back. And I'm really hoping that we see her pull the reins back a little bit next episode, but from this preview, it's not looking like that. And so I'm really worried for her standings if Blue goes to tribal council, because if she was already on the chopping block to begin with and people are still talking like this, it's just not great.
Well, the minute I found out I was on the chopping block, my whole demeanor, attitude, everything changed. Because like I said, I was doing stand-up for like 3 days and just being me, you know what I mean? And when my name came out, I was like, son of a... My godmother told me I'd either be out first, I'd go to the end, and here it is. I'm going out first, you know what I mean? And so like, I literally quit being funny. I let other people talk more. You know what I'm saying? Not that I was... you know, dominating the conversations or whatever, but I always had something funny to say. So I started being quiet and cause I was like, yo, I can't go home and I'm not going to go home because of this. You know what I'm saying? So, I really done a 180 and started doing things a little different or whatever. And like you said, I don't know if she's got onto the boat and figured out that she needs to do that. So we'll see. Cause right now she's in a little bit of trouble. You never want to be the second name. You don't ever want to be the name, whatever. So the fact that you was even brought up should have been like a caution to you to slow your roll, but she didn't take it like that, obviously.
No, she did not. And I worry that, you know, also I think that maybe, you know, we saw that Alex was pretty good at covering his tracks and kind of help. Like he was probably one of the main reasons why Nicole ended up going out because, you know, we talked about this right before the pod, that when she, sorry, technical difficulties on my end. a light went out. Things are falling.
It looks like you're in tribal council. It's all gloomy.
It's all gloomy over here. but when Nicole was like, do I play my shot in the dark? Alex really sold like, hey, no, you don't need to play your shot in the dark. You're good. And I do feel like maybe people like Alex just sold the fact that she was just a decoy. It's not actually going to be her, whatever, a little too well. I mean, not for Annie's sake, because maybe she's like, I really was just a decoy and I'm in on everything and I'm good. And I'm just going to continue forward. I just worry for her, just a little bit for this next episode.
Yeah. I think that if Alex doesn't like bring her around and be like, hey, kind of like when Tyson had the talk with Coach and he's like, dude, nobody believes your stories. You know what I mean? When he had a heart to heart with Coach.
Oh, yeah.
And I think Coach changed up a little bit after that talk with Tyson. I think it's the same thing. If Alex goes to her and has a talk and like a candid talk with her about, you know, how people are actually perceiving her, then maybe she'll change. I think that her staying in the game is her connection with Alex, is my opinion. And good for her, though, for at least catching one fish. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I know.
All it takes is one, though. You only need one ride or die or somebody that's going to stick their neck out for you and let you know when you're in trouble and things like that. So maybe Alex is her guy and he might, you know, help her out in the second episode.
Absolutely. And maybe we see something like a Caleb and Emily from season, what was that, 44, 45, where, you know, Emily, again, it's like the Tyson and Coach. He was like, hey, you got to stop doing this. And then they go really far as a duo. We've seen it time and time again, but I think that it would be really, really interesting. Or is Alex just not willing to stick his neck out when he already has kind of a majority lined up already? He's got, you know, the bromance and he's got Sophie. And I think potentially he's got Jeremiah. And so is he willing to really stick his neck out for something not so definite?
Well, that's the thing. It's like, you got to wait and see how he goes. But he's got a mommy thing. You know what I mean? He's got stress about mom. He's got mommy issues. So that might, his, that, that, thing he has in the real world may come into play in this game. Because he said, like, his boss is an older lady. He has all these women around him, and he gravitates towards them. So you can't fight the natural pool, you know what I mean? So his mommy issues may come into play in this game. That's all I'm saying. Which, ain't nothing wrong with. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, they could go to the end together, and he could sit next to her and win the whole damn thing. You know what I'm saying? Or she could play his ass. Like, who was it when Tina? Tina went with Colby. You know, Colby thought, I got this. I'm going to take Tina and get this mitten. No, you ain't, sir. No, sir. So you never know. I mean, it's just I like to take new seasons that play out and like compare them to the old stuff, because there's a lot of things that are similar to them, but it's like the feel of the new era is different than the old school stuff. But a lot of the moments and a lot of the exchanges and interactions between people and stuff, it's a lot of the same.
Yeah, it really is. And it's just, I think it's kind of like where people will always have similar instincts and do similar things, even if it's in a different situation. It's not always going to be the exact same thing, but you can see people's patterns. And I think that this is another one of them. We even saw, like, Gabe came into season 47 looking to work with an older woman, and then he found Sue, and he and Sue went pretty far as well. And so I think Alex is trying to figure his way into that as well, but I just don't know if it's going to work, because again, if they go back to tribal council, which I don't know, they are not as cohesive as some of these other tribes. And so if they go back to tribal council, is he able really to turn the tide to help her? And is he willing to do that? Because if you do that too hard, it might bounce back.
Yeah.
You know, at you.
Yeah. You can't ride for somebody too hard. It's kind of like when Kyle was riding for Camilla. And they're like, why are you riding so hard for her? And he's like, and he started backing up from it. It's like, it can get you in trouble. So he's just going to have to figure it out. You know what I'm saying? Like, whatever he thinks is the best way to the end and who he thinks. But if he trusts so-and-so or such-and-such more than such-and-such and so-and-so, then he's going to probably go with that. Or, you know what I mean? If he feels like he has a better connection with Annie, then he'll ride with that. It's just so hard to tell. And you don't know, like, the small nuances of stuff that's happening. You know, there's a lot of stuff that you don't see on TV. You know, they take days of footage, and, you know, one little thing can piss somebody off, and that's it. You know what I mean? So I'm curious to see what happens, though. I mean, it's a good start to the season. You know what I'm saying? Like, episode one.
I thought it was a pretty good premiere I'm not a huge fan of premieres typically. And so I thought it was a pretty good premiere to, you know, laying the groundwork for hopefully a fun and chaotic season. I did want to point out, we have a comment from Nicholas. Nicholas says, tuned in when I saw Elaine in the thumbnail. Elaine, you're so underrated as a player, and I look forward to your perspective. I wanted to say that, like, nice little thing that was a shout out to Elaine.
Nice. I appreciate that. I'm not as smart as people give me credit for. I mean, I do want to put that out there.
I disagree. I think that you are very smart and not smart. You don't give yourself enough credit.
Well, I just don't consider myself to be a very strategic person. You know, like, I'm an emotional individual, you know, so I usually go with emotions and trust, you know what I'm saying? And I'm not a very good liar. You know, and a lot of people lie on Survivor, and I'm not a good liar. So it's like, it's a hard game, man.
A lot of people do lie on Survivor. Speaking of which, the other, so let's talk. We haven't really talked about, what is it? The Orange Tribe, Yellow Tribe, Yellow Tribe. I haven't picked up their names yet. It takes me about 3 weeks to get the tribe names.
I can't pronounce them, so it's all good.
But we have the Yellow Tribe. We didn't really see much of the Yellow Tribe in the first episode. I mean, we learned a little about Stephen. We saw about Jason being an alternate. Did any of the alternates from your season ever come back?
I think Jack was an alternate for a different season.
Oh, okay.
I don't remember which season he was an alternate for, but I'm pretty sure he was an alternate for like an earlier season. Maybe 38 or 37.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but other than that, I don't know. Can I just tell you that I love Christina. Is that her name? Christina?
Yes, I do too.
I freaking want to hang out with her, dude. She is so funny. I love to like hang out and laugh, and she would be so much fun. She reminds me of Lauren, where she's scared of everything. You know what I mean? I love that. I had Lauren, listen, we went, we call it seining, where we took a net and we seined a creek basically. And we caught some little fish or whatever. And I was like making her touch them. She's like, ah, And that, dude, that reminded me of that so much. Like, but I love her energy. I love her vibe.
I do too. I think that she's definitely somebody that, I think that people probably feel a little bit more comfortable working with her, mainly because I think when you are willing to show a weakness on Survivor, people tend to think that you're somebody that is maybe more trustworthy, because I think if you're like trying to really put, you know, walls up and not be so, and just kind of be so like mysterious or whatever, people don't love to work with that. But if you show that you're, you know, scared or freaked out by something or whatever else, I think that people tend to gravitate towards that on Survivor, because they kind of know, hey, oh, you're, you know, you've got this like quirk too. It's maybe not the same thing, but you know, and I think that she is doing a really good job at really kind of showing her personality in a way that is non-threatening. And I think that that could be really good for her in the long run.
Yeah, it reminded me of the whole Dave Wright situation where he was scared and he went really far and became a really strong player. And he started out with a lot of weaknesses and stuff. And I think you're right. I think whenever you're vulnerable like that, I think it does tend to hear people to you. You know what I'm saying? So I think she's in a good spot. You know, Steven, I'm not so sure about. That cat is all over the place. Paranoia on like day two. Yo, how are you going to make it to the end? It's like, yo, you're freaking yourself out. You need to calm down. Go sit by yourself and stare at the ocean or something. Like, you're going to mess your game up by being paranoid. Paranoia is the one thing like people is like, they won't tolerate it. You know what I'm saying? Because you start freaking other people out.
Yeah.
And if I'm solid and then you start freaking me out, I'm worried about you. You know what I mean? So he needs to calm down with that paranoia stuff.
I totally agree. Now we did also see a little bit in this like the sneak preview for the next episode on the Yellow Tribe. And we saw a little bit from Matt. Before I get into this little clip, how did you feel about Matt? He was somebody that preseason I really could not read. Mm-hmm. I don't know. His like the information he gave was just kind of like sparse and it wasn't really giving me a full picture of who Matt was. And I feel like I'm getting a better picture now that he's on the screen. And I'm thinking that he's playing a little bit better than I thought he was going to. You know, we saw him make fire and things like that. How do you feel that Matt is playing so far?
I think the whole, whenever they were making fire and he was stood back and I can't remember the guy's name that said he seen that Matt was like, you know, Steven, I think said, you know, I know you can do this and you got this look on your face. It's like a father standing over a kid watching them mess up until they're like, okay, dad, you know what I mean? I think he's playing okay. I like his vibe though. Like he just seems to be laid back. Like he's like, you know, well, Steven had said something about who we're going to vote out. And he's like, we'll just, you know, we'll come to that when we have to. Let's just keep doing what we're doing. You know what I mean? Like, I think he's just got a chill vibe. I'm curious to see on how well he could integrate himself into the younger generation, because he was kind of struggling there when they were talking about gaming and the systems they were working on and this, that, and the other. He was kind of lost in the dark, but it all depends on how he handles that. You know what I'm saying? Being with the young crew.
Now, it seemed really interesting. So on this like next time on Survivor, but in this like preview we saw of their camp, we saw that Matt, I believe it was Matt, Christina, and Steven, I believe, were having a pretty good three. Like apparently they were working really well together. And so Matt realizes that in order to really make sure that they're able to get somebody out, they need a fourth. And so they go up and they all agree that MC would be a good fourth. And so they go up to MC and then Matt basically tells her, hey, you know, the three of us were thinking that, you know, we would really want to work with you. You've got a great vibe, whatever. Her immediate reaction is, yes, that sounds great. But in her confessional, she's like, wait, how long have you three been a three? And now you're just now only bringing me in. So this is a very interesting development on the Yellow Tribe, because if they go to tribal council, does MC want to work with three people that maybe are keeping her on the back burner and not thinking of her fully? Or is she going to risk it and go with the other two and maybe have some kind of, you know, cooperation there? Plus, she was the alternate for this season and Jason was an alternate for this season. So that's an immediate bond, whether they like it or not. They maybe will see eye to eye at least a little bit on, you know, not potentially being on season 49. So I think that is a whole
alternate.
Mm-hmm. MC and Jason were the two alternates.
I knew Jason was. I didn't know MC was the other one.
Yeah. Oh,
okay. Yeah, so that probably puts her, like, she already felt like she was two steps behind the car anyway. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, she's running after it already. And then when dude says that, it put the brakes on it for her. That's a little troubling. See, that's the problem. It's like when you bring something to somebody and you say, day one, we formed this thing. We want you to join. It's day four. And it's like, how long did it take you to decide to pick me? You know what I mean? Like, yeah, it makes you, it's the same thing on my season. Like, they had formed an alliance and then they were like, yo, we want you to be in it. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm the last one, you know, like, I already knew. So it's, it may be a bad look for Matt, Steven, and Christine.
Yeah. Now, do you think if you're MC, do you go with this for now? Say they do lose and they go to tribal council. Would you go with this for now? And then just keep that knowledge of, hey, I was not one of their originals in the back of your head for maybe the merge or maybe to switch something up later down the line. Or would you try to figure something out now when you potentially have at least some numbers to kind of fight against it?
Well, that's what I did. I was like, yep, I'm on board. And then I just was waiting for the time to be able to vote some people out. You know what I mean? Like, because I was like, they just got me for a number. They don't really want me. You know what I mean? So I think she's going to put it in the back. You know what I mean? Put it in a little file, put a pin in it. You know what I'm saying? And she's going to come back to that later. So she may play it up right now and be like, oh, we cool. Yeah, we cool. And then when shit really starts rolling, she's going to find real connections that she feels are real connections. And she'll probably roll over on them.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think you're totally right. Because I think that she read it right. Like, why was she not included in the conversation? And why is this now something that you're figuring out this late? I also think it was a misstep. It will be a misstep on Matt's part. Because either you don't say that information outright, or you figure out a way to spin it to where it actually works for you. But I think Matt is a straight shooter in his life. I don't think he sugarcoats things in his life. I think he just tells it as it is, which is a hard thing to have to deal with on a show like Survivor, because how are you gonna, you know, play the game with these people who are lying to you all the time, like you said?
Yeah, he should have said, yeah, we were just talking. And it's like, we should make this a four. You know what I mean? Like, that would have been simpler. You know what I'm saying? So, but like I said, you got to watch what you say on Survivor, man. You may say something and somebody take it the wrong way and that's it, you know, and you just planted a seed of doubt in MC's mind. You know what I mean? Like, you didn't even mean to. You was trying to bring her in. So it's like, shit happens. That's the Survivor. That's the best part of it.
Literally. Now, I do also want to talk about the next time on Survivor, we saw some interesting face reaction things to them at a Matt chat. That's hashtag the name of the show. The Matt chat, I believe at the challenge, and it looked like the players were upset and it looked like Jeff was excited. What could you think that would mean?
It's got to be some sort of punishment for the people, right? Because Jeff is sadistic like that. He loves to punish the contestants. So it's got to be something. Maybe he's slicing a bag of rice again or something. You know what I mean? Because I'm sure they're starving already on 3, 4, 5 days, whatever, going into the second episode. So it may be something like that. I'm not sure. That's the only thing I can think of. It's got to be some kind of punishment. Or some kind of like, oh, I can't believe you're cutting the bag, Jeff. You know, it's got to be something like that.
It's got to be something like that. We also have Robert here saying Elaine is so insightful. Agreed. I totally agree.
And y'all are giving me way too much credit. Way too much.
Absolutely not. Now, after seeing the first episode, who are some players that you're really excited to see play this season? Like, who are the big standouts? Maybe two or three people that you are like, these are the people I think are going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, well, not from a game perspective, but I love Christine. Is it Christina or is it Christine?
I think it's Christina.
Yeah, I love her. I hope that she gets the adventure of a lifetime and that she breaks the mold with some of those phobias she has and she starts seeing that she's capable, you know, because I always root for those kind of people. So it's like I root for her. But when it comes to gameplay stuff, I think Savannah is a stone cold killer. Like, I really do. Like, she's got that whole Black Widow vibe. Like, she's, you know, she could be heading up the new Black Widow. You know what I mean? Like, she has that vibe to her. And I think she's going to be a good player. We already said Rizzo's going to be probably off the charts. all over the place, crazy, and a villain. I think he's going to be a villain. And I like Big Jake. I think he's a meathead, you know what I mean? But I also think he's like a big teddy bear. You know what I mean? Like, I think he comes from a good place. I'm just curious to see if he can clean his game up, because right now he's messy as shit.
Yep.
You know what I mean? But those are the ones that stand out to me. I remember a few more, but it's like those are the ones that.
Yeah, the big standouts.
Yeah, the forefront for me.
Someone that I agree with pretty much everything that you said. Somebody that I also am interested to continue to like watch how their game progresses if she's able to kind of make something is Sophie on the Yellow Tribe. So Sophie PH. Or IE, not I, because, and I didn't even notice this in the season, because I'm not a very big, I don't really watch the challenges as much as I probably should. But apparently, and Shaheen was the one who drew my attention to it, she was really good at communicating in the challenge, like telling people which way to go and all of this stuff. And after I rewatched it, I was like, man, she is able to really kind of use like have the words in her mind, and she's able to say it so perfectly. And I think that's somebody who is really good at putting out plans for other people, drawing people together. She's not going to trip up on her words like we've seen some other people so far, you know, trip up on their words. And so I think that she's somebody who really excites me, even though she didn't really get much of an edit in that first episode. I think maybe she got one or two confessionals, but I think that she's got some potential.
So she's your sleeper, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
I'm curious to see what happens with Steven, because he's paranoid as hell. You know what I mean? Like, is he going to, like, flame himself out, or is he going to be able to, like, recompose himself? It's kind of, again, bringing up Dave Wright. It's like, you know, Dave got super paranoid, and he was able to get it under control. And it's like, yo, is this Dave 2.0? Like, are we going there? You know what I mean? So I'm curious. They have a great cast, and it's like, you know, everybody has the potential to go to the end. Like, there, you could literally make a case for who's your winner pick. It's really going to be I think it's going to be a good season. I hope we get some of that old school villainous, you know what I mean? Not so kumbaya stuff from the great days of Survivor. We'll see though. I'm interested in seeing what happens.
Me too. I think I have high hopes. I have high hopes because I do think that there's just something about this cast where no one really stands out to me in the sense that no one really is like, I think like last season I was like wowed by Shaheen's preseason, and I was like wowed by Camilla preseason. And not that they were bad preseason, but there's something about like all of them where I'm just kind of like, I feel like they all have potential and I just haven't seen it yet, which I think is really good legs for a good season and a good cast. Yeah, like I think exactly.
Yeah, it's like building you up. And then hopefully when you hit that mid, when you hit the merge in the mid season, it's like, then things start ramping up and then it gets like to where it's really good. Yeah. That's what I'm hoping for too. But you know, like the new era has been so, I don't want to say predictable, but a lot of it has been the same.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like if you think back through the seasons of the new era, like for me, it's hard for me to differentiate like who was where, you know what I mean? Like you have some major ones like Carolyn and my boy, Jam, you know what I mean? Like Marianne and Omar and, you know, Jonathan, like you have characters that really stand out to you, but how often can you be like, all right, they were on what season? You know what I'm saying? Like it's hard to like pick it out. You know what I'm saying? Like, so I'm hoping that when I think about 49, I want to be able to be like, oh yeah, this is 49. You see what I'm saying? Like, yep. I hope it differentiates itself from the rest of the new era. Not that the seasons were bad, because I watched every one of them. I enjoyed them. It's just being able to tell the difference between it. It's like when you talk about old school Survivor, you know what I mean? Like when you heroes versus villains, and you know what I'm saying? Like,
oh yeah.
Yeah. So I hope 49 stands out for a reason. And you know, they put two people on 50.
Yeah.
So it's like, they had to play some kind of game, you know, on 50, because some of us didn't get to go on 50, you know?
Well, speaking of 50, we've got a question from Brennan Smith. Would love to hear Elaine's thoughts on 50. Who is she excited for? And who do they think got snubbed? Elaine got snubbed.
Yours truly got snubbed. No, I didn't get snubbed. I got cut. It was more like it. They cut me in the heart.
Oh.
I'm excited. Let's see. Honestly, I can't even remember who all's on 50. At the moment, I know there's a lot of big-name people.
Like Stephanie LaGrosse is on it. Colby's on it. Sari is on it. Who else?
That's the thing. I draw a blank.
Angelina from David versus Goliath. Yeah. Christian from Mike David White. Versus Goliath. Mike White.
I'm excited. I don't know if Sari would get her win on 50. I would love for it to happen.
Oh my God, I would die.
When I did my preseason stuff whenever I played and they talked to me about Sari. I told him, I was like, yo, if I ever played with Sari, I would go to the end with her and let her win because
you
she
do.
And he's like, you don't mean that. I said, oh, yes, I do. That's the kind of people I am, though. It's like, yo, this lady has done so well
in
every single game that she has played. She has played amazing. And to me, she is the greatest of all time. And even better than some of the winners. You know what I mean? Like, I just think she is such a social player. Yeah. How many times has she played? And she's an Australian Survivor. It's like, this lady has played so many times, and yet she goes deep every single time. It's like, I would love for her to win. I don't think it's going to happen. I think they're going to snuff her out quick because it is 50. But I think a new school person would have trouble going to the end. My route would be for Camilla.
She would be great.
I think she's great. Like, she is like dynamite in a little package. You know what I mean? Like, I think she's a great person. I've met her. I wish she would make it to the end if new school's gonna win. But you know, I'm old school at heart. So it's like, I root for the old school.
I agree. I think that there's for a long time, I was very like, I don't need to see Sari on my TV anymore. I've seen her for so many things. She was on Big Brother. She was on The Traitors. She was on Snake in the Grass. Like, I don't need her. And then I watched her on Australian Survivor and I was like, what were you thinking, Tegwith? Like, she is amazing at anything she ever, whatever she touches, it turns to gold. We want Sari on everything.
She's such a good player. And it's like, just to hang out with her and just like learn from the master, you know what I mean? And just like, and it's like, I give her her flowers. You know what I mean? Like, she's a great player. I know that there's millions of people out there that say the same thing. Tired of Sari. But it's like, yo, when you're good at something and you get a chance to come back, you going to come back.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So it's like, you going to see her again. You going to see her in season 75. You know what I'm saying?
I will be watching.
Yes, I will be watching too. But like, to me, it's unfortunate that she went out in, was it Game Changers when she went out with no vote?
Advantage Geddon. Yeah, that was Game Changers.
Yeah. And to me, it's like, that's part of the reason why all the advantages and stuff like that kind of taint the game is because to me, Survivor is a social game. Mm-hmm. And when you throw in advantages and this and idols and blah, 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 you turn it into something else. Yes, it's still a good game, but it's different than what the intent was when it started. And so it kind of messes the purity of it up. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? So like in that moment, it was like, this is why you shouldn't have so many advantages, Jeff. You just screwed the one person that was playing bomb ass.
Mm-hmm.
But you know.
You know what?
Under the bridge.
Did you notice this? I didn't notice this until Twitter told me. Apparently, in the premiere episode of season 49, nobody talked really about idols or advantages. An idol wasn't found. Nobody got an advantage. Did you notice that? Or how did you feel about that?
Well, I just felt like that's how the edit took it. You know what I'm saying? Because they talking about it. You know what I mean? Like, you talking all the time. I just think that, you know, we're the community, the Survivor community as a whole. I think the majority of people, not everyone, but I think the majority of people has been like, you know, the new era has been overridden with advantages and idols and this, that, and the other. And Jeff doesn't always listen to the people. He don't. We know this. You know what I mean? He does not listen. But I do think they take it into consideration. So maybe they cut back on the edit of some of that shit. That's my opinion. And because I played, I know they edited a lot of stuff. So I think there was talk about it, but maybe it wasn't in the forefront because they're trying to push 49 in a different direction as like differentiate it, like I said, from the earlier seasons of the new era.
Yeah.
So maybe, but that's just my opinion. I'm not sure, you know.
I think it'd be really interesting if maybe we get to like episode 2-3 and they still haven't talked about it, which would be absolutely crazy because season 47 in the merge, no one looked for the idol at merge, which was so weird because it was kind of like, again, this almost like Kumbaya for 48, pardon me. Kumbaya, where they're like, hey, we know where the idols are. Let's not go looking or whatever. And nobody did. And so I wonder if any of that was like adopted into the season. I don't know. I'm very interested to see how this all plays out with the idols and advantages. And there's going to be something that Jeff and production throws in, some kind of journey or whatever. But it's interesting for right now.
Yeah. Well, wouldn't it be great if they were like, you know, you get to like the merge and it's like there's not been one idol and it goes way back to old school when they found the first island. What season was it? It was Guatemala, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. First season. What if you went all the way back to where there was no idols? Like, what if he went totally retro? They wouldn't do it. But, you know, that would be crazy.
It would be crazy. And then don't tell the players. Like, don't tell the players there's no idols. They freak out. They're like, what's going on?
Yeah, that's the kicker to it, because it's the new era is so heavy in advantages and idols that if you just don't say anything, let people hunt like crazy people, and then, you know, you're paranoid because you listen, even when you're around trusted people, you still get paranoid. And so then if nobody's played nothing, you're like, I know they got something, has to be, you know what I mean? That would make it for interesting. You know what I'm saying?
But I think it'd make it very interesting.
Yeah, it would.
I think that there would have to be some kind of push by like CBS overhead to be like, all right, we're going to go back, like a back to the basics kind of Survivor theme, but don't tell the players, but tell the fans or something. So that we know we're like in on it or whatever else. It's got there. Cause I don't think Jeff will just do that for fun. Yeah. Like, I think that he would hate that. I think we'd have to force his hand.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's possible that, Jeff barely gets forced to do anything. Like, you know what I mean? So it's like, I just think, you know, when Jeff's like, all right, I hate it, I'm not doing it, then that's it. You're not doing it.
Yep.
Yeah. And he's real big on idols and advantages.
Yeah. I think he likes to keep players on their toes, which I do understand. I think like making things predictable for the players makes it so that maybe they are able to quote unquote plan out their gameplay. I know it's so hard to actually plan anything, but like map it out in your head. And I do see wanting to keep things unpredictable and also kind of giving players tools to lie. Because I remember in an interview, Jeff said, all we have to do is introduce something one time. And then if we introduce that thing one time, every other time, every other season,
yeah,
players can say, oh, I have a this, or oh, this person has a thing, even if it's not in the game, but it's an advantage that they've used before or they've heard of before, like an idol nullifier. People will play in their heads, like, maybe I don't tell people that I have an idol, because what if there's an idol nullifier here? You know, right. So there is that kind of like unpredictability, but then you can use that in a season with nothing, because then it's like, they don't know it's nothing, so it's something.
Yeah, well, I think the reason why they do all the advantages, well, I'm sure you know, it's because they don't want tribes to get pagonged. You know what I mean? Like, what season was it whenever that happened where they literally just got the Tide Alliance? Old school. They go to the end and that's it. They voted out who they wanted. And it was so, like, boring. And
Palau was the one where there wasn't even really a merge. It was just, like, one tribe beat the other tribe. But I think OG would be season one. Where it was just like one alliance just kind of ran through the other.
Yeah. And it's like they introduced the advantages and idols and stuff. So that doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. But I do think you get a little carried away. You know what I'm saying? Like, and just like you said, you introduce something one time and then there's the thought of the possibility of it being in the game. And because the paranoia and everything in the players is so great, like, you don't even have to put that much in there. You know what I'm saying? So that's the disappointment for me when it comes to advantages and idols. I like them in there. Mm-hmm. You know, like Wentworth played hers and you know what I'm saying? Like, I dig that. But when you have too many, I think it's overkill. And it's like, and then, you know, some of my favorite players have went home because of that. And it's like, damn you, bitches.
Literally. Literally. Yeah. And then there's also some times where people are able to just like hold on to the idols until the very end. And it's like, what was even the point of that? Like, for example, the season right after yours, your season, sorry, Dean, held on to an idol for a long time and showed it at Final Triple Council. And everyone was like, well, okay, great. You've got an idol. Like Marianne did that. And Eva did that. It's like so many things are happening and so many things are chaotic that people are able to hold on to it. And it's like, the point of it is to kind of cause chaos and be used. And so I feel like now we're seeing people sometimes using it really in fun ways. Like Kyle, for example, last season, saving himself pre-merge and then going on to win. But then we're seeing people also just kind of hold on to it because they can. So I feel like sometimes too much of a good thing is not good.
Yeah. Well, you know, what's crazy is that one season, I can't remember because it's New Era. I
46, where no one played anything.
And then the season before, everybody burnt their idols. There was like five or six, I can't remember how many idols it was, but everybody misplayed them. And so the next season, everybody's like, I'm not doing that. So they didn't play. You know what I mean? It's like, yo, you got to, basically how you win is you don't watch Survivor. You just go out there and you wing the damn thing. You know what I mean? Because you can't learn shit from Survivor.
Oh, yeah. You can't really overthink it. I think the thing is like, and which is so hard. It's so easy for me to say, you know, sitting on my couch. But like, that's the thing in life. If you overthink things, it just makes it harder than it needs to be. And I do worry for some players this season about overthinking. We talked about Steven. Who was the other person that I was thinking? I'll think of it in a second. But I do worry that people will just overthink things. But I also think that there are people on the season who are really confident and are really able to follow their gut. Savannah being one of them. She just has this air about her of this like, the way she is on screen, the way she's in confessionals, she just seems so self-assured. And that is somebody who plays good Survivor, because then they are not necessarily chaotic in the sense of like, their brain is organized. And when their brain is organized and they're confident, they can play a confident or maybe a purposefully messy game, but it's all, you know, calculated. So I think there are some people like that on this season as well.
Yeah, I agree with that. I wasn't one of those people. I really was just living the dream. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, I was living the dream, riding the high.
L-I-V-I-N.
I was always on the outside. I didn't know. I mean, I knew who was going home every time. And I voted right. I'm pretty sure correctly almost every time. But, like, I wasn't a part of, like, strategy stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was a number. You know what I mean? And then when it came time to, like, start really crunching it, is like I'd already put myself in a hole. You know what I'm saying? By not coming out the gate and playing, you know what I mean? But it's like I had the best adventure in the world. So am I disappointed that I didn't bring home a million? Yes. But am I disappointed in all that? No. You know what I mean? So it's like these players, they're going to decide their own fate. You know what I'm saying? Like they're going to decide and dictate how their game's going to go. And some of them's in trouble and may not even know it. Some of them's paranoid and shooting themselves in the foot. Some of them's a little cocky and confident. And, you know, Jake throwing out the bromance thing on day one, telling everybody that's his guy. Yo, that's messing you up. But you don't see that stuff. You only see it in hindsight. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't see it in the moment. And so I'm curious to see on who course corrects. You know what I'm saying? And gets their shit together, basically.
Yeah. I think it's going to be a really fun season and I'm really, really excited for it all. Now, before we end the podcast, we're going to do something fun. I'm going to do this every single week on Matt Chat. So because we're talking about a little bit about the episode previously and also the next episode, I like to do like little fun, silly awards. And so for Matt Chat, the award is going to be called the Alley-Oop Award. And so what the Alley-Oop is, I know in Alley-Oop, you're setting somebody else up for success, but in this instance, we're going to give the Alley-Oop Award to who we think is setting themselves up best for the next episode. So it could be somebody on the tribe that went to tribal council, or it could be somebody who you think is like laying the groundwork really well for the next, for, you know, maybe the next episode and the whole season. You can kind of take it however you want, but you just feel like the gameplay that we saw is going to translate well into future gameplay, but specifically the next episode. So do you have anybody that's like popping off the page for you for the Alley-Oop?
Well, can we give two? Can
yeah.
We give, Savannah. I think Savannah's setting herself up. And I think she's putting herself in a position that is going to fare well later on. You know what I mean? But I think she's killing it right now with the social game. And I want to say Alex.
Those were the two people I was thinking too. That's actually so crazy. Oh, yeah. That's crazy. Yeah,
and the reason being is because even though, you know, Jake's like, oh, this is my bromance, da da da, and he seems like the head of the alliance or whatever. I think Alex is in a better position. Mm-hmm. And because he has a branch almost to everyone in the tribe.
Every single person. I think even Jeremiah likes him too.
Yeah. So he has a branch to everyone. So I think he really placed himself in a great situation. And then just cause, can we give one to Christina? Cause I think she's great.
Yeah. Why not?
She's hilarious. I want to have a beer.
I think I would absolutely love that. I know that she lives in Texas or something. And a friend of mine. Yeah. And a friend of mine, actually, I think she went to a Big Brother finale party yesterday. And I think she said she's like the nicest, most amazing human being. And I just really want to meet her and just like chit chat for.
Yeah,
hours.
That's me. It's like anytime I see anybody on the screen that's like super funny, you know, just living life and has a great vibe to them. Like, I want to be friends. You know what I'm saying? So she has that vibe and I wish her the best. So Christina, totally. I love you.
If you take anything from this podcast, it's that we are big Christina stans.
Yes.
That is the most important thing. Well, Elaine, thank you so much for being my guinea pig for my first ever, you know, hosting here on the Specialists Matt Chat. How did I do other than the light and the sounds and the everything?
No, you did good. When the lights went out, the whole ambiance changed. And I felt like I was at tribal council. And then you had these green things glowing behind you and it's Halloween almost. So it was like, it was perfect. Like, this was the perfect episode.
Oh, it was so much fun to talk with you. How can the people keep, I mean, everyone's probably already following you, but anything you want to share, any big news, anything you want to, do you have a social media that you want to plug?
I mean, you can follow me at ElaineStott32 on any social media. It's the same on all of it. It's been the same for forever. I mean, I don't post a whole lot other than my fitness stuff and, you know, post the dogs or the wife or the kids from time to time, but if you want to be friends, man, reach out. Holler at me, I'll holler at you back. You know what I mean?
Thank you so much, Elaine. And make sure to like and subscribe to The Specialist. And if you want to become a patron, go ahead and do that. The Patreon podcast, Tech Talks, is dropping tomorrow. I'm so excited about it. We did a one-time player draft, me, Ryan, and Phil. And it's just, we have a really fun time chatting it up. So if you are a patron or if you want to be a patron, make sure to go listen to that and all of the really, you know, fun stuff we're getting into. We have one more question in the chat.
Okay.
Do we have time? I know I was just closing it up, but do you have time for one more question from Clay? Okay, here we go. So Clay asks, curious if Elaine has a favorite player in the new era or her favorite season of the new era.
Oh, I love season 44. Is that Jam Jam and Carolyn?
Jam Jam and Carolyn, yep.
Listen, Jam Jam is freaking hilarious. Like I said, I get down with good, funny people, and that dude is hilarious. And Carolyn, I hung out with her. She's all over the place, but I think she's cool shit. You know what I mean? So, and that season was really, I thought it was really great. So that's probably my favorite season of the new era.
Love. Amazing. Well, I think that's a great way to end the episode. Thank you so much, Elaine, for joining us. And thank you all so much for listening. It was so much fun. And I'll see you next week on Matt Chat on The Specialists. Bye, everybody.
Bye, guys.